Episode 2 of Kitty Speaks. Today we're going to read an article called The Mystery of Marsha Meron, the best-selling young novelist who died a recluse in a rubbish-strewn cottage on Ireland's west coast. From the moment of her arrival in Lochinvar, Marsha Meron cut a solitary figure. The few times she has seen were when she would sit in the depths of winter on a bench of the shadow of Ireland's holiest mountain and open her laptop to catch the Wi-Fi from the village pub opposite. The Dawson family who runs Staunton's pub in a crook of the meandering road that tracks the stark beauty of County Mayo's Atlantic coast repeatedly invited the striking young woman into the warmth. Once or twice in 4 months, she accepted, but most of the time, the 36-year-old politely declined, explaining that she needed to get back home. Visitors to a nearby rented house overlooking a rocky beach were greeted with a sign, "Do not disturb, I'm working." As Therese Dawson, the landlady of the homely loser in the shadow of the 2,500-foot Crow Patrick, put it, I suppose she needed our Wi-Fi and she be out there in all weathers. Of course, we invited her in. We told her she didn't have to worry about buying anything, but I sensed from her that she preferred to be alone. Just how alone only became clear shortly before 1 p.m. on April 30th last year. After days of messages and door knocks, she had gone unanswered. Teresa Walsh, the letting agent for the boxy, unlovely bungalow on nearby Pier Road, rented by Marsha since late January, used her spare keys to get inside. Some 18 days later, Marsha had sent a text saying she could not deal with the question about her tenancy because she had been vomiting blood for the last few weeks. The estate agent's response, asking if she had seen a doctor and offering help, met with no answer. Mrs. Walsh found her Iranian-born tenant lying face down on the bedroom floor, wearing only a woolen cardigan. She had been dead for about a week, and around her lay the detritus of her increasingly marginal existence. In the previous weeks and months, dozens of empty mineral water bottles and the wrappers of the large chocolate bars that had become her chief source of sustenance. Amid the squalor, her sole tangible financial assets were a single euro coin and a $5 note. It was a grim, lonely passing that might otherwise have gone unremarked beyond the Convy and its windswept beaches, but for one thing, Marsha Meron was an internationally best-selling author read in dozens of countries, pursued by film directors, garlanded with rave reviews, and according to those who knew her, a free spirit with a rare zest for life and many more books to write. County town of Castlebar last month recorded an open verdict at an inquest into Marshall's death after hearing that the decomposition of her body had been too advanced to pinpoint a physical cause of death. An investigation by the Garda Síochána, the Irish police ruled out foul play, All windows and doors had been secured from the inside equally. There was no trace of drugs, medical or otherwise, that would evidence an act of desperation or despair. The real reason for her demise lie in an extraordinary story of exile, passion, and ultimately a search for identity that brought Marcia to unkempt hermitude in the westernmost limits of Europe, and ultimately death. In many ways, her arrival in the heart of a small community in the west of Ireland was not unusual. From the philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein to a long list of modern writers, from the Frenchman Michel Houellebecq to Frederick Forrest, the Atlantic fringe has long attracted artistic and intellectual blow-ins blurred by the landscape and, until they were recently abolished, tax breaks. But while Marcia, like her predecessors, found inspiration among the Celts, she was also, in the words of her Irish-American former husband, fighting her demons. It was an existence which, in happier times, had seen her train for a decade as a concert pianist in Buenos Aires, Miami, and Adelaide, work unwittingly for Russian gangsters in New York, and proposed to her Irish-born bartender husband 10 weeks after meeting him. Through interviews with friends and family, the Independent has pieced together the tale of escape from the intolerance of the Iranian Revolution and rejection by the Tehran's great American enemy, which shaped her life and likely contributed to her fragile mental state when she died. Above all, they insist the picture of a recluse, her once lissome figure, bloated by poor diet, is not a true representation of a woman who brought her debut and best-known novel, Pomegranate Soup, knew only too well the joys of good food and the dangers of isolation. First published in 2005, after her marriage to a son of Mayo, the book told the story of three Iranian immigrant sisters who went over the population of a fictitious community, Balinkro, with the flavors of saffron, cardamom, and rose water by opening a cafe and defeat the xenophobia of the next door irascible publican bent on driving them from town. The novel, A Food Conquers All Morality Tale, compared favorably by critics to Joanne Harris' Chocolate, was an international bestseller, translated into more than a dozen languages and sold in more than 25 countries. The object of his desire was at the time leading a rakish, if somewhat naive, existence, having traveled from Australia, where she had been living with her recently divorced mother. In 2005 interview, Marcia explained, "I arrived in New York with only $200 in my pocket. I worked initially as a hostess at a restaurant owned by Russian mobsters. There was no customers, which I thought a bit odd at first, until I realized that the restaurant was just a front for their other dealings." In his first interview since his former former's wife's death, the independent that their romance encapsulated their impetuous and impulsive nature of the lament. 4 years his junior, who shortly afterwards became his wife. That's it for this podcast. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share with your friends and family. Bye.